Our reading is on the back of your bulletin. It's from the 35th chapter of Genesis, verses 1 through 15. It's a little long reading, but I was trying to figure out a way to cut it down. Couldn't cut it down. It's a story we need to hear. Then God said to Jacob, "Go up to Bethel and settle there, and build an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you, and purify yourselves, and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and who has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had, and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell on the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them. Jacob and all the people with him came to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel. El Bethel means God of Bethel, because it was there that God revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now, Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak outside Bethel. So it was named Alon Bakuth. Alon Bakuth means oak of weeping. After Jacob returned from Padan Aram, that is, we locate that about northwestern Mesopotamia now, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." Well, Jacob means he grasped the heel, or he deceives. And Israel means, well, we're pretty sure it means he struggled with God. So he named him Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty." Now this is where they use the name El Shaddai. El Shaddai. Of course, the name of God is many, many different names in the Old Testament. But El Shaddai was one of the most prominent ones. God Almighty. "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful, increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will be among your descendants. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I also give to you, and I will give this land to your descendants after you." Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him, and he poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel. Bethel meaning the house of God. Now we get a little ahead of ourselves, ahead of the actual day of remembrance here at Boskydale, because we call this Memorial Sunday. That's really good, because remembering our heroes is a very good, very important thing. And tomorrow's Memorial Day will certainly be a very special day to many families and individuals. As a church family, we have special and dear memories that we commemorate this day, one day early, this Sunday, because those have faithfully served our country to preserve and to maintain the American way, and those are very special to us indeed. And so I'm going to ask all of you, everyone here who has at least one family member who has served in any branch of our military and has since died, not only war veterans, but all veterans of military service, you have a loved one who's gone before you. Please raise your hand in grateful commemoration. I thought so. We have no one who's ready to raise their hand. No, I didn't have anyone. You see, the men and women of our country have been faithful to serve. And it's extremely important. And so we have this great way to celebrate this special remembrance. Well, moving slightly away from the focus on the military, I think it's without a doubt that we all have some very special memories. We've just done some good memorizing, giving memories. And in most cases, many good or pleasant memories are brought back to us by thoughts of, or actually revisiting of, some special place, some special time that we were there. And right now, I'm going to ask you, can you think of such a special time and such a special place for you? Can you think of that? I would venture to guess as you're reflecting on that now. Some of you are thinking of something that has to do with your younger years, possibly includes something about your religious life. I know if I were to go back and stand on the edge of a certain little lake and a small crossroads of Bethany, North Carolina, I would joyfully remember, that's the lake where I was baptized by my father. And I hope many of us today have similar religiously oriented remembrances. So we read today the ancient story of such an experience, a great and celebrated experience that occurred in the life of the patriarch Jacob, son of Isaac, grandson of Abraham. And please, if you will, as we journey today with Jacob, see if this story generates any fond remembrances of your own encounters with and worship of Almighty God. Some 30 years had passed in the life of Jacob when, from this town to the first time he had passed through Bethel. On his first visit, it was an occasion of his hurried escape from his brother Esau's understandable immense anger with him. And the intervening years had been filled with a lot of drama for Jacob. Fear, deceitful marriage, children, marriage again, building his own large family household, and finally travel and a return to the land of Canaan, his former home. Verse 1 of chapter 35 says, God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there. God's call to Jacob to return to Bethel after 30 years couldn't help but arouse some very powerful and even some precious memories for him. He could recall the details of the original experience of what we find in Genesis 28. That is, he could with profit remember that first visit. Sometime take time to go back and reread about Jacob's time of sleep with stone for a pillow and then the dream of angels descending and ascending a staircase or a ladder. You know, we sing, I'm climbing Jacob's ladder. That's what that one was about. The ladder led up to heaven, and in his dream, God was standing at the top of it, giving Jacob his blessing. And who of us doesn't delight to contemplate our earlier experiences, our religious experiences, especially those that have blessed us and enriched us on the journey? Jacob had much to remember. Jacob would remember the significance of the name of the place. As I've said, Bethel means the house of God. Not that God is confined to any one place, but certainly his presence was especially known to Jacob in this place, Bethel. Which reminds us, a God, of course, is not confined to the walls of a church building, of our church building. But for many of us, his presence and his power are experienced in in perhaps a more profound way here in his house. Jacob will remember the altar, his first makeshift altar at Bethel. The altar would remind him of worship and of sacrifice and of giving. You see, there's no reference to Jacob building an altar at any other place during his journeys over the intervening 30 years. And possibly, he'd kind of drifted away from God. Much of his spiritual falling away, maybe we should say backsliding, may have resulted from this neglect that he never had built any other altars. And his return to the place where he took his stone pillar and he set it up as a pillow. Got those wrong. His stone pillow, and he set it up as a pillar, anointing the pillar with oil, and that was his first attempt at an altar. And you know, it is at the altar that we often experience God's presence, where we're reminded of our responsibility to him. Jacob will remember his fears. He was in a fearful time the first time he went through Bethel, but then he received the divine reassurance. On his first visit to Bethel, it was a very unique occasion for he was running away, as I say, from the wrath of his enraged brother Esau. It was here at Bethel, Genesis 28:15, that the divine reassurance came to him. It says, "I am with you," God said to him. "I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. And I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Amen. Jacob remembered that. Jacob could also remember the vows that he made at Bethel during his first visit there. You know, the important thing to remember about and really understand about vows is that they are no better than the character of the one who makes them. Mm-hmm. No doubt Jacob's intentions were sincere in his declaration that God would be his God. But you have to have more than just intent. You have to follow through with performed commitment. And you notice that when Jacob gets ready to leave Shechem, he has to tell all of the people in his household, "Get rid of the gods that you've got." Why did it take him so long to have to tell them that? And the recall now that he was having of his earlier vow, that would serve to remind Jacob of where he had failed. And it comes home to us. Remind him of his impotence. We're reminded of our impotence and of God's omnipotence. So he was reminded of many things. Well, sin, unforsaken and unforgiven, is always a barrier to fellowship with God. Jacob's response to God's call for him to return to Bethel is a reminder of this truth. He saw where he needed to forsake some of the sins in his life at that time. Idols needed to be forsaken. Verse 2, "Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you." In Jacob's case, these were the household gods that they had brought with them from Laban's household up in Paddan Aram, where he had spent the last 30 years. In our case, it may be other things, such as pleasures, or worldliness, or wealth. You see, God is not pleased with any of the rivals that claim our attention and devotion, and these must be forsaken. The unclean must be cleansed. We got a part of seeking forgiveness is cleaning up. Mm-hmm. See, verse two continues, and purify yourselves. I know you probably remember the lamenting cry of King David from Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And in Psalm 24, the psalmist answers the question of who may come into the presence of the Lord. It says, it is those who have clean hands and a pure heart. Mm-hmm. And there's a policy of separation from our sin that needs to be followed. Still in verse 2, and change your clothes. For a long time of 30 years, Jacob and his household had lived and moved in Padan Aram and Shechem, where they had become defiled. Their clothing somehow symbolized that. You know, defilement comes from contamination and the corruption of worship of other gods. And the sad truth, the very real truth is, we too become contaminated and defiled when we put the ways of the world that surround us ahead of our full devotion to God. Amen. But there is good news. The good news is that sin, any sin, including the sin of contamination of our lives by the seduction of our society and its, and you know, always trying to pull us into its corrupt ways, can be reversed, can be forgiven, can be cleansed. We have our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jacob didn't have that privilege, and so this was Jacob's way. The altar must be rebuilt. His memory, his wake-up call was verse 3, let us go up to Bethel where I will build an altar to God. This statement reflects Jacob's obedience to the divine direction that was given to him there in verse 1, where God said to him, go and settle and build your symbol of worship, build an altar to God. Well, the rest of our text from verse 6 on to verse 15 tells us the call has been issued. Results were the obedience, and this was in realization and a revelation from God. This is where you need to move. Well, the prime objective for Jacob that's described here is really great instruction and direction for our spiritual lives. God's will is obeyed. That's what he did. As instructed, Jacob obeyed, and he went back to the place that he identified years earlier as the house of God, Bethel. And in the rebuilding of the altar by again setting up a stone pillar and anointing it with the oil of holiness, he was doing what he needed to do. He was following his prime objective. And he thus rededicated his life to the God of his fathers, the God of Isaac and the God of Abraham. Well, come back to earth with him, though, just for a little bit here. See, to obey God's will did not, for Jacob does not for us, remove us from trials and sorrows. No sooner is he at the right place doing the right thing when a sudden sorrow comes to him and his family and the death of Rebekah's nurse. And we learn from this. We learn that sorrow is not always a punishment for sin. Jacob was doing the right thing. It was for Jacob and his company, and often is for us, that in sorrows, life is mellowed. Man, life is trained, and life develops a fruitfulness anew. And this is the faithful and the continuing message of the New Testament. Romans 5:3 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And then in Romans 8:35 and a couple of other verses, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Well, God appeared to Jacob for the purpose of blessing him. This is in verses 9 through 12. God gives Jacob his changed name and the significance of it. Israel, meaning the struggles with God, reminding him of his experience many years before at the first time he was at Bethel. It's not easy to forget, or sometimes it is. Well, sometimes experiences of yesteryear go dim in our memory. And then it's great for God to remind us, to help us remember. So listen to your heart. Remember your high spiritual experiences with Him, and you can continue to grow. Well, Jacob marked this high and holy time with God. You know, in Memorial Sunday, in a sense, we mark great times. But here was Jacob returning after his first visit to Bethel, and remembering that he had used a stone as a pillow. On this occasion, Jacob also remembered that he used the stone as a sacred pillar. You see, the pillow is for rest. The pillar is for remembrance. All right. And both of those are gifts from God. Mm-hmm. Well, places are very important in the life and experience of Jacob, as we see. And they're very important to each of us. Encounters with God are often marked by the place or places that they occurred. And we're enriched when we remember the place where we met God. Or we remember that place. And as we do, we remember the event. And so may we always recall for our spiritual profit, our gain, the places that we have met with God. And as we sincerely ask God to meet us in new places, we ask Him to give us and show us new ways to follow Him. May God bless our viewing of this story of Jacob, and may it teach to us.